Let's read in the book of Joshua, if you will turn with me, please, in the book of Joshua, Old Testament book of Joshua. That first book following the Pentateuch, that's, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua is that first book following that first five of the Bible. And I want to look in the fifth chapter of this book of the Word of the Lord and begin our reading in verse 13. We'll only read three verses. I have a simple thought today. I want to share with you what the Lord has laid on our hearts out of Joshua chapter 5 and in verse number 13. If you found your place, and if you are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord from Joshua chapter 5 and in verse number 13. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went out to meet him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? The captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Amen. Preaching this morning, if the Lord will help us for a few moments, and I'd ask for your undivided attention as I preach for a few moments, I declare a mighty man. I declare a mighty man. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. We introduced the series of sermons that we're preaching right now, looking at the beloved Apostle John beginning his epistle, declaring unto us in verse 5, "Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." We've talked again and again how that when something would be a shock of awe, of a bit of a remarkability to it, the old timers would pause and say, "Well, I declare." And matter of fact, I was preaching out of town here a couple of weeks ago. Brother Randy with me up in South Carolina, and a fellow came up to me and he said, they didn't just say, "I declare." I said, some of them would say, "Well, they law." And I don't even know what that means, but that's what I'm going to say, "Well, they law." And I don't even know, I don't know how to even preach on that. But, I declare I know how to preach on. And for them, this was just a manner of speech. But for the apostle, it was serious stuff. John was able to declare a message, and he told us about that message, the gospel message, the message of Christ, the message of the Messiah, the message of the cross, the message of our redemption. And then the next week we saw that woman at the well who could declare a meeting. She met a man who changed her life. For each one of these, this was an individual experience, and they told their testimony of what the Lord had done in them. And I was not there for those things, but I can tell you what the Lord has done for me. I can declare those things. Hey. The following week we saw a man born blind who was asked how he received his sight. And the blind man declares a miracle. In Jacob's fight with God, who wrestled with him, we declared a match. He had faced God, wrestled with him, and lived to tell about it. In addition, we saw blind Bartimaeus and how he declared mercy. Last week is one of my favorites that we have done so far in this series of messages, as we saw the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill beside the altar to the unknown God saying, "I declare the Messiah. His name is Jesus, and I know him, and I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I can make that declaration." Today we are visiting with Joshua just outside of Jericho. He and Israel have escaped Egypt's bondage, crossed the Red Sea, spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness for their unbelief, buried Moses and Aaron and the older generation in the wilderness, crossed the Jordan River, have seen the last of the manna fall from heaven, and it's time to take Canaan. And that is four books of the Bible preached in one sentence. I don't know if you realize that or not. And that's where they are in this portion of Scripture. And now it's time for them to take a Canaan land. In fact, they kind of have to take Canaan because the supplies in the wilderness are being turned off. The Bible said in verse number 12, "And the manna ceased on the morrow." And so after they eat what they had in store, there would be no more manna. The days of God taking care of them to dwell in the wilderness were over with.
And now you can either do what he said and take the land of Canaan, or you can sit here in this wilderness and starve. You know, sometimes to get us into the victory, God has to put the screws to us. He has to put us in the vice grip. He has to help us to realize that there's really no other way to live it outside of his perfect will and to live right. I mean, you can kick against the pricks like he told Saul, but he said it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You can resist the Lord the way that Jacob did, but he's going to put you in the, my friend, in a figure four leg lock until you holler calf rope and make sure that you relinquish to God's will, that you submit unto him and yield unto him. And here he is. He has cut off the supplies. And Joshua said, no, there is no time for delay. It is now or never. We must follow the will of God. And he stands before that mighty walled city. He sees what stands before them in that land. My friend, and he's burdened for this place. A burdened new leader of these unstable people looked at the mighty walls of that great city of antiquity and wondered how they could possibly prevail. Oh, but that night he met a mighty man. And today I declare a mighty man. I declare a mighty man. I must say that I have never been to Jericho. I had a friend of mine that is a missionary that is over in that part of the world right now. Sent me some photos from Iraq on a week or so ago. Sent me some photos from Israel on yesterday. And I got to see some of the things on pictures. I've looked at it in encyclopedias and so forth on the internet, but I have never seen that part of the world for myself. I've never been to Jericho. I've never seen the ruins. I've never walked across the hillsides of that land, but I have seen a mighty man. I can declare unto you a mighty man stepping in during trying and testing times. I've found him to be a man of war. I've found him to be a man of power. I've found him to be a man of deliverance. I've found him to be tender to my need. When I am in a battle, I have found him to be faithful, to never leave me, to never forsake me. And to my friend, he'll never walk out on you. He will not leave you comfortless, thank God. Hallelujah to his blessed name. And yes, he is always in control. Praise God. When everything else is out of control, he's in control. When the whole world's falling apart, God got it all put together. And when it seems like it's all coming off the wheels and off the rails, he's still holding on to the throttle. He's still in charge. And we can trust him all the way to glory. Amen. I declare a mighty man. I can't do the things that are needed in your life, and you surely can't do what's needed in mine. And I doubt that we'd even understand anyway. I don't even understand my own problems, let alone understand yours. But I know a man who can. That ought to be an invitational suggestion this morning. I know a man who can. I declare a mighty man. And I'm glad that I do know him. Amen. Now I really just have three little things to this little message here this morning. And that's really all. And then maybe a few things about those three things. And then we'll be through. But you listen close this morning. Give us your undivided attention. I'll try to preach fast if you'll try to listen fast this morning. I want us to talk about the image of a mortal man. The image of a mortal man. The image of a mighty man. And the image of a mobilized man. A mortal man, a mighty man, and a mobilized man. We see those meeting in these three or four verses that we read in our text here today. We're beginning with the image of a mortal man. In verse number 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And now the image of a mortal man is that of Joshua. He's seated outside of Jericho and looking at the task that lay before him. Joshua is a mortal man. He's not a superman. He's a former slave. I mean, Joshua grew up barefooted. Joshua grew up enslaved. Joshua grew up being told what to do with the crack of a taskmaster's whip on his back. Joshua grew up in a place where the Israelites, the Hebrews, had no power for themselves. He is not a superman. He's a former slave. He's not even Moses. I mean, Moses wasn't Superman, but Moses was Moses. And Joshua is not even Moses. It would be easy for Joshua to say, this task is too much for me. I'm but a mere mortal man. The weight is too heavy. The responsibility is too much. This place, this task is too large. Oh, my friend, he did not have Moses' a scholastic background. He had not trained in the schools of Pharaoh. He didn't have Moses' spectacular story. He had not been born at the same time or been saved in an ark of bulrushes. He didn't have Moses' spiritual experience. He had not been to the bush of fire, had the wooden burn, or received the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God on the mount. Oh, my friend, what Joshua learned, however, was though he was but a mortal man, had not even a man like unto Moses, that he had the same God that Moses had. Are you listening to me this morning? Joshua 1:5, as I was with Moses, the Lord said, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Some of us feel at times and in days, I feel at times and in days, as if the weight of what God has put on my life to do is heavier than I can bear. I remember being scared to death as a 13-year-old boy when God began to deal with my heart about preaching His gospel. And I said, Lord, it is too much for me. It's too large for me. And to my friend, it seems larger today than what it ever has. And I seem smaller and weaker than what I've ever known myself to be. And there are more variables, it seems, outside of my control. But I realize, as surely as God was God for Moses and for Joshua and for Papa and for Granny, as surely as God was God and for generations of days past, I serve that same God. The same God that turned Peter from a reed to a rock. The same God that made Saul of Tarsus Paul the apostle. The same God, my friend, that gave deliverance unto them. My friend, the three Hebrew boys, Daniel and the lion's den. The same God that told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. Is the same mighty man that I have with me and that you have with you. And we can complete the task at hand. We can fulfill God's will for our lives. We can do what the Lord has sent us to planet earth to do. You can be victorious. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Without Him I can do nothing. But through Him I can do all things. It is that drastic. I am nothing, but He's everything. And I'm not fighting this battle alone. I am a mere mortal man. But praise God, though Joshua knew who he was, though he knew what he was, and he knew what he was not, he did not say, I can't complete the task. He just sought for help from a man that would give him the power to carry out the work that lay before him. May you this morning, whenever you look at the things that God has tasked you to do in this life, the things that He wants you to do in this life, may you not run and hide from the responsibilities. My friend, but realize, my friend, there is enough in Christ to make you more than conquerors. There is victory in Jesus. Yes, you are not enough for the task. It's right that you are inadequate for these days. But God is more than enough. With God, nothing shall be impossible. You can fully, completely, entirely, eternally, totally trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I listened during Sunday school this morning. Amen. You can trust the Lord. He's worthy of your trust. There is the image of a mortal man. I notice this mortal man has a shepherd's burden. He has a shepherd's burden. Joshua led the people like he would lead his sheep. And he served the good shepherd. He realizes he's not the good shepherd. He's just one of the shepherds. And he considers these people who he is leading as his sheep, as his flock. He considers the defenses of the city and seeks to formulate a plan of attack. These decisions he knows will affect the people under his leadership in profound ways. Some of them indeed will die. Others will be injured. Families will be torn apart. Lives will be altered based on the decisions Joshua makes. Before those decisions are made, Joshua goes out alone under the weight of the burden of his office to seek counsel of the Lord. Oh, may we realize that that's how we can lead. That's the only way we can lead is to follow the leader. If Paul said, follow me even as I am a follower of Christ. That doesn't mean that Paul never stepped out of the way. It meant that Paul was following Jesus, and if you want to follow Paul while he's following Jesus, you'll go in the right way. Follow him even while he is following Christ. And he begins to seek counsel of the Lord. Verse 13 said he lifted up his eyes and looked. His head is bowed in prayer, and he's seeking the Lord's help. I want to say leadership always comes with great responsibility. There is a responsibility to seek the will of the Lord, to make decisions that honor God, to understand that every decision is like a tossing a pebble into a pond where ripples are sent out in every direction. Is anybody listening to the preaching? In your life, no man lives unto himself. No man dies unto himself. Every decision you make is like looking into a pond. And when you throw a rock out there and it lands in the middle of what had been serene and peaceful and still, there are ripples and they go in every direction. You cannot design nor determine which direction the ripples go in and in what weight and how. But when you toss it in there, the water is going to do what it is going to do. Your decision is how you throw the rock. In your life, you are making choices that will have ripples, that will have effect, that will have consequences in every direction. And my friend, listen, when a preacher fails, a ministry fails. When a father fails, a family fails. When a mother fails, her children fail. When a deacon fails, a church fails. When a Christian fails, a testimony fails. Your life is one of leadership, and your decisions matter to the whole world around you. There will be unintended consequences, and the Lord will hold us accountable to how we lead the sheep in our little fold, no matter how large or how small. Romans 14:7, as I mentioned, for none liveth to himself, and no man dies to himself. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Your decisions matter. Your choices matter. He is a mortal man with a shepherd's burden. And then he's a mortal man with a soldier's bravery. He's a mortal man with a soldier's bravery. As Joshua prays, he sees a man standing nearby with his sword drawn, and Joshua doesn't know who he is. He knows it's a man who's ready for a fight. He's already got his weapon out. I mean, he can see him poised for battle. Now, Brother Daniel, whenever you're in the military, how did they put all your weaponry and your stuff on you, you know, to prepare you for battle and so forth? Have you got guns and you got, knives and whatever else all loaded all over you? And when you're just standing in formation waiting to be spoken to by an officer, the pose that you are to take is not to take all your weapons out and point them at him. I mean, while you're standing waiting to be spoken to by an officer, all of these things are put up. The rifles are put up. The sword is sheathed. The weaponry is all put in its place, buckled into place, secured in its place, because you're not going to battle right then. You're just having a talk. But this man does not have his sword sheathed. This man does not have his weaponry set aside. This man had not come to host a summit. This man had not come to have a talk. This man has come with his sword drawn, holding it in the air, pointing it towards the city. He is ready for battle. And Joshua doesn't know who he is. And he demands to know who he is. He demands to know what side he's on. Joshua demands to know, friend, are you for us or for our adversaries? This is bravery, friend. I don't know if Joshua was even armed. Joshua was not prepared for the battle. Joshua was not ready to fight the battle. It was not time yet for the battle. Far as I know, Joshua might not have even had a knife on him, let alone a sword. And yet he runs up to this fellow prepared for battle and said, I need to know something. Are you here to cause my family trouble? Are you here to cause my church trouble? Are you here to side with our adversary? Are you here against us? Are you here for us? May God give us some mere mortal men with, my friend, the bravery of a soldier. Praise God. He was protecting his ground. He was consumed with the protection of those under his care. We should be brave enough to protect our ground. Pastor, protect the church. Deacon protects the congregation. The husband defends his wife. The parents protect their children. Joshua could have been slain. He had no assurance that the man with a sword wouldn't chop him up in pieces. But he engaged nonetheless. Hear me, friend. Protect what God gives you or die trying. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I tell you, the church is worth fighting for. The truth, integrity, obedience to the will of God, marriage, the family, our children, they are worth fighting for. And you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for the Lord and the right, then keep on the fire, Lord. God, give us some mere mortal men with the soldier's bravery that'll stand in the face of the opposition. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
But much to his encouragement, when he asks, are you for us or for our adversaries? And I believe he asks it knowing that that could be trouble. Trembling in his heart, but yet he denies the fear that's in his own soul to face the circumstance that stands before him. And he says, are you for us or for our adversaries? The man looks back at him with the glow of the sword in his hand. And he says, neither, but of the captain of the Lord's host, hitherto am I come. I'm come that I might take over this battle. There is the image of a mortal man, but then there is the image of a mighty man. Oh, I'm so glad I've seen it when he showed up. When I was so scared, I thought I'd die. And the mighty man shows up. Joshua was willing, but he was only a mortal man with great limitations. But that day he could declare, a mighty man has come on the scene. Joshua will go back into camp and tell him, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. And we're going to walk around this city. And we're going to walk around barefooted. And we're not going to say a word. And we're not going to fire a shot. And the battle is the Lord's. And he could do that because it's seen a mighty man. I wonder, can you go home this afternoon? Look at those in your little flock. Can you go home and look at those in your little family? Can you look at those in your little world and say everything's going to be all right? Not because I'm somebody, but because I met somebody, because I know somebody, because I'm connected with somebody, because I'm protected with somebody, because I belong to somebody. He's got a mighty sword in his hand. Everything's going to be okay. He's a great provider. He's a great protector. And my friend, he has providence over our lives. I can put my confidence in him. And youngins, it don't even matter if the program, if the plan even makes sense or not. It's the one God gave me. And I trust the man with a sword in his hand. Hey man, are you listening to me this morning? I trust the man with a sword. I don't know if you're picking up on that. I trust the man with the sword in his hand. Are you listening to me? The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You say, I don't know if I can trust the Lord. I don't know how in the world to face this circumstance. I don't know if I can trust the plan. You can trust the man with a sword in his hand. This sword is the Word of God. If you'll follow this plan, brother, you will not be defeated. You might have it. Listen, he didn't go back and
Satan, none of y'all is going to die in battle. He didn't go back and say everything's going to be easy. He just went back and said the man with the sword in his hand has a plan, and we're going to follow it, and we're going to win. Are you listening to me? You're going to face battles. You're going to face difficulties. You're going to encounter skirmishes. My friend, you may die on the battlefield, but die with your boots on, following the man with a sword in his hand. It's an image of a mighty man.
Yes.
Notice the mighty man's posture. When Joshua sees him, he's standing. His sword drawn in his hand. It's a man ready for battle. This is not a passive observer of events. This is one ready to make something happen. This is one ready to take on the enemy. Our Lord is not reactionary. He already knows what He's going to do. I don't know if you do like I do, but I ask the Lord some dumb questions sometimes. I ask the Lord, what in the world are you going to do? Sometimes I tell Him dumb things. I say things like, Lord, I sure hope you know what to do with this one. Or I'll say things like, Lord, you just don't understand what I'm going through. You'll hear the stupidity of what I'm saying. I mean, I'll tell the Lord things like that sometimes. But I got news for you. He's not waiting on me and you, Brother Daniel, to draw up a battle plan for him. He already knows what to do. He's got a sword in his hand. He's not even drawing up the plan. He's ready to carry it out. The Lord has a plan for your problem. The Lord has a plan for your problem. The Lord has a plan for your problem. The Lord had a plan for your problem before you ever had a problem for His plan. He knows the end from the beginning. The Lord has a plan for your problem. He's got the sword drawn. He's ready for battle. He's not reacting. He knows what to do. He's got a plan for your problem. Psalm 115 and 3 said that our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. That's who our God is. The mighty man's posture. And then there is the mighty man's position. I mean, he did not come to take sides, that he came to take over. His policy, his position, his plan. For Jericho, I could see him if he was holding a news conference in our day, standing up there behind the podium, you know. And in that part of the world, they'd throw a shoe at you if they didn't like you. That's what they did to George Bush back a few years ago. A news reporter didn't like him, took a shoe off, threw it at him, threw it at the president. And President Bush, being the somewhat athletic man that he was, he just ducked out of the way and raised back up and smiled and continued the news conference. About as good a response as you could give to such a thing. Have they be throwing shoes at him and all kinds of things. And to somebody, no doubt, maybe from CNN, MSNBC, CBS, oh my Lord, help us. The Wall Street, the Journal, New York Times, Washington Post. I mentioned about 10 or 12 good devils there. One of them would say something like, Mr. Man with a sword in your hand, what is your policy concerning Jericho and this here wall? What is your plan concerning the battle coming up? What is your position about the fight that's about to happen? He said that my plan, my policy, my position is we win. That's what it is. Victory. Absolute, total. My friend, unequivocated. My friend, without negotiation, we're going to win. A total and absolute domination. We're going to win. That's the policy.
I got news for you. We're not going to squeak this thing out. Have to win it in the buzzer when the time goes out. Try to run the clock out on this thing. Oh, my friend, hey. Oh, God, help us for being so carnal. It's going to be like a bulldog on a horned frog. Buddy, I'm telling you. They're going to dominate, absolutely dominate. And then Jesus says the way we're going to do this thing is my way with my sword and my power and my might. Not by you, Joshua, not by these children of Israel, and not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he comes to take over. And the Lord is going to win. This is the Lord appearing in power and authority to Joshua. And it was assurance to Joshua that he was not alone. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You'll never be alone. Mighty man's posture, the mighty man's position. Then we find the mighty man's power. He claims ownership over the title. The captain of the host of the Lord.
Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? He said, I ain't for neither one of you. I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. I didn't come take sides in this thing. I'm running the show. Besides that, he says, I'm not alone. Joshua didn't see but one, but he was bringing all heaven with him. Amen. I don't know if you know it, and I don't say this to say it's in slang or to say something that would be inappropriate. But when the devil comes against you, he will bring all hell with him. You need to know that when the Lord fights on your behalf, he's bringing all of heaven with him. He says, I am the captain of the Lord's host. In your life, you can't lose for winning. All of heaven is fighting by your side. You are not alone in this thing. Oh, praise God and the Lamb forevermore. The Lord's power is there that day. Oh, Joshua couldn't see that there was a vast army of heavenly warriors camped around him. Israel would not face their enemies alone. Heaven's armies were there for the battle. The battle is his. The victory is mine and victory is sweet. And I see a great band of angels camped all around me. I hear the captain rising up the battle to meet, and I know I'm safe from harm when I'm trusting Jesus. Oh, yes, the battle is his, the victory is mine, and victory is sweet. There's an image of a mighty man. There's a mortal man. There's a mighty man. And then there's the image of a mobilized man in verses 14 and 15. When Joshua hears these words, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? He's enlisting in the Lord's army. Verses 14 and 15, he's buoyed with assurance that the Lord was present. Joshua then mobilizes to serve in the Lord's army. I mean, ever march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom or fly over Germany, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. And he's the captain, and I'm serving as a soldier in his army. I want you to notice the mobilized man's humility. He falls before the Lord to worship him. Joshua is submitting the will of the Lord, and he knows who is in control. But then he asks the Lord what to do. Joshua didn't say, Lord, I sure am glad you got here. I got some things that I've been thinking about that if you'll do them, I think they'll work. You know, that's the way we pray sometimes. We talk to the Lord and say, now, Lord, listen here. This is what I need. I've got it all drawn out. All you got to do, point number one, point number two, point number three, if you'll do these things, it'll all work out the way I want it to. And that's the way we pray a lot of times, but not Joshua. Joshua said, Lord, I'm so glad you're here. I'm kneeling down now and I'm worshiping you, and whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. What is it, Lord? My life is a blank canvas for you to paint on. My plans are empty. All my plans says whatever the Lord wants. My desires are thy will be done. My goals are to do the will of him that sent me. My ambition is to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He says, what wilt thou have me to do? Same thing the Saul of Tarsus says, who will become the Apostle Paul. Whatever the Lord has his attention. Now that you've seen who he is and who you are, it's time to kneel before him. And he's submitting the will of God, knowing who's in control. Oh, friend, before you can have the victory, you must be vanquished. Before you can conquer, you must be conquered. Before you can have not been overcome, you must be overcome. For God will bring you to the glory. You must submit to his glory. Yield to his authority. God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he cared for you. There's a mobilized man's humility here. You can't be the captain in this army. That rank has already been given to one who deserves it.
Yes.
You don't qualify. I don't qualify. There's only one who qualifies to be the chief officer in this army. Amen. God help us.
Yes, sir.
Too often we're trying to pull rank on God and we don't rank as high as an ant. Too often we're trying to tell Him what we want and what we want to do and how we think and what we want, our desire, and after what we ought to do is bow down before Him and say, Lord, I ought to have been off in hell had You not even known my name. But I'm so glad You're a part of my life. You're in it, and I want You to be the one in charge of it all. And Lord, all I want to know is, what do You want me to do? And I'll do it. The mobilized man's humility. Then notice the mobilized man's honesty in verse 15. The Lord said, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. What do You want me to do, Lord? Why don't You take your shoe off? Now, if all we knew was military strategy, this sure would be a strange thing to do. I'm reminded of that fighter pilot, you know, that gets shot down in Kosovo, I think it was, several years ago, got shot down in Kosovo, and everything around him got shot down. You know, the plane, everything. He jumps out, he loses everything, loses crew, loses his plane, even his parachute gets ripped up. I mean, he's torn all to pieces, everything's messed up. Yet somehow or another, the captain looks at him when all this thing is done and says, soldier, you lost everything. You lost your plane, you lost your crew, you lost your materials, you lost your supplies, you even lost your parachute, but you still got your boots on. He said, they were strapped on, sir. In other words, the only reason they stayed on is because I kept them tied. They were strapped on right along him. Brother, there is not a military officer in the world that would say, before we go to war, the first thing I want my soldier to do is take the shoes off. There's not a one. And if all we knew was this, this thing wouldn't make much sense. So I thank God for Bible dictionaries, don't you? The people reading this passage originally would have understood what this meant. But we don't until we dig a little deeper. In this day, if a man's going to make a covenant with another man, one has power over the other, whether he is one's borrower and one's lender, one is employer and employee, whatever the relationship might be, if they are entering into a covenant promise. The one without power would take off one of his shoes, leaving him at a disadvantage and acknowledging that. And then he would take that shoe and give to the one who had the power. And in so doing, he was acknowledging that I can't feel those shoes that need to be filled, but I have confidence that You can. Slaves didn't wear shoes. I don't know if you know that or not. They went barefooted. That was a way of saying, I'm your servant. I'm your slave. You have the shoes. I'm in my bare feet. I'll do what You tell me to do. I can't do it. This task is too big. These shoes are too great to be filled. But I will give them over to You. I can't, but You can. You know what some of you need to do this morning? You have battles before you that seem so great and they are intimidating. And the old devil roars an ugly roar. He keeps you up late at night. He worries you into the morning. Puts wrinkles on your forehead. Ulcers in your stomach. Causes you to sit up worrying and spend money on medicine. And upset tummies. Makes you shake and quiver all over. All the while what you're realizing is you can't. But this morning I would to God you'd see a mighty man.
Yeah.
A man bigger than the doctors.
Yeah.
A man bigger than the lawyers. A man bigger than the Indian chiefs. A man bigger than your problems, bigger than your giants, bigger than your mountains. And this morning you ought to just take his shoe off and hand it to him and say, it's too much for me. I can't, but You can. And Lord, I'm going to yield this whole thing over to You. I'm giving it up. Some of you this morning, you'd say, but my boots are strapped on. They're laced on. You ought to just go ahead and untie one of them and bring them down here, lay it on the altar and say, Lord, there it is. I can't, but You can. I'm acknowledging that I am nothing without You, but through You I can do all things, and I'm going to follow You barefooted into battle if I have to.
Amen.
Then after God takes His shoe off of him, He says, this is how you're going to win the victory. You're going to walk 7 days around the city of Jericho without your shoe. You're at a marked disadvantage. It looks like what you're doing is the stupidest thing you could possibly do. But it's what's going to give you the victory. And he's walking with one shoe on and one off. TJ thinks he's a one-legged man. I think he's just got one shoe on and one shoe off. And all of those people standing up there on top of the wall in Jericho with swords and with bows and arrows and with catapults and all their other weaponry is looking down at this ragtag bunch of former slaves. And they said, I heard that they came out of Egypt. I heard they were rich. But their leader's half barefooted. And look at him standing out in front of them. They don't have a sword. They don't have a weapon. And he wobbles everywhere he goes. He's not even stable. Hell, his very walk is up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And he does not call out cadence. He does not have a war cry. It seems like he's feeble, that he's unstable, that he's off balance. And that they are a pitiful little group of people. Oh, but what they didn't know is they couldn't see the captain. All they saw was a foot soldier. The captain was standing on a mount with a sword in his hand. And on the seventh day and the seventh time around the wall on that day, they stopped and they shouted the shout of victory. And brother, then the captain and the host showed up. And the battle that was too great for Joshua became too great for Jericho. And God gave them the victory. And they overcame the city.
Yes.
This morning, if you realize that you ain't nothing but a barefooted slave that God brought off the slave block of sin.
Amen.
But he'll give you the victory and he'll give you the promised land. I declare a mighty man. I cannot do what you need this morning, but I know a man who can. I know a man who can. Some of you today, it's been a long time since you really sincerely and genuinely sought the help of the Lord. I'm bad about this, Brother John. I'll confess this before all others to hear. I try to handle things myself. I don't want to be foolish, careless, irresponsible, not to try. But there's a difference in doing that and trying to take the sword from the Lord's hand and do it yourself. Joshua was not lazy and unwilling. He just yielded to the Lord's power. He worked for this. But God's the one that gave the increase. Your battle will not be without a fight. But if you're fighting in your strength alone, you will lose. Is anybody listening to preaching? Some of you this morning, you fought some things and scuffled with some things and battled some things. Over and over again, you've tried to do it all by yourself. Some of you, even with good intentions, you have not paused yet to take your shoe off and give it to the Lord and say, I'm yours. I'm your servant. And today you need to. Everybody stand. I preach what God's put on my heart. I declare a man. I declare a man. Just give it to the Lord. If you need to pray this morning, would you come? Sing for us, brother. If you need to pray, would you come? Be obedient to the Lord.
Now I can take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can.
He kept you up at night long enough.
And I can't take.
It's wrinkled
your sin sick, make it wider than snow. But I know a man.
This battle has worried you and set on your shoulders enough.
And some call him Savior.
It's time to bring it to the Lord.
The Redeemer of all men.
It's time to give it to God.
I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. So if you feel that no one loves you and your life is out of hand. Well, I know a man who.
Time to accept your place, volunteer for, and fulfill your place.
I can't walk upon the waters or calm the raging sea.
Oh, but I know a man who can.
But I know a man who can.
Would you obey the Lord this morning?
Blind eyes to open. Make the lame walk again. But I know a man who who can.
You need to pray. Cast your burden on the Lord.
Some call
cast
Him Savior.
Cast your care on Him.
The Redeemer.
You better unload
of
this
all
burden.
Man.
There'll be five more behind Him when this is done.
Call Him Jesus.
I guarantee that.
For He's my dearest friend.
As soon as you think you've got this battle,
so
there'll be five more standing right behind
one loves
you. Better
you
get help from God.
And your life is out of hand.
I've already discovered
well,
that.
I know a man.
You killed Goliath. He's got a host of brothers just waiting for you.
And some call Him Savior.
You're going to need help from the Lord
the
today and tomorrow and the next day.
Man,
every hour I need the Lord.
I call Him Jesus.
I need Him every hour.
For He's my dearest friend. So if you feel that no one loves you and your life is out of hand,
I
know a man
they were strapped
who
on, sir.
Can.
I can't do anything. It's all out of my control, all out of my power. But I declare a mighty man, a mighty man.